Blog Talk Radio.
Romans 2 and 5,
nope.
The righteous judgment of the Most High, who will
yep.
render unto every man according to his
nope.
deeds, to them who by patience continue
yep.
in some well-doing seek,
nope.
for glory and honor and immorality,
yep.
eternal life. But unto them that are
nope.
contentious and do not obey the
yep.
truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath.
Craig Lucas.
Yep. You an African-American?
Nope.
You believe that's your heritage?
Yep.
Do you know who you are?
Nope.
King, queen?
Yep.
Nigga with back?
Nope.
Do you shine like a star?
Yep.
Think they gon' tell us?
Nope.
We gon' expose them?
Yep.
Yeah.
They gon' take your life?
Nope.
So many secrets in the vault?
Yep.
Do this knowledge cost?
Nope.
Hop in the book to my?
Yep.
Do you follow these laws?
Nope.
Do they still exist?
Yep.
Have time to wait?
Nope.
Do we have grace?
Yep.
Continue in sin?
Nope.
I'ma ask you again.
Yep.
Should we continue in sin? Christ is the way.
Yep.
Devil gon' win.
Nope.
Tryna make it to heaven.
Yep.
Get there by sin.
Nope.
Follow the commandments.
Yep.
Everybody got choices. I chose this walk, so why keep on trotting? Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and nothing can stop us. Everybody got choices. Righteous life, devil don't like that, nah. Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and save your soul. Never going back.
No, no, no.
Forward to the kingdom.
Yep.
Alright, alright, alright. You gonna learn today.
alright, alright, alright. You're gonna learn today.
Alright, 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 alright. Salama, good morning. Welcome once again to another episode. ISBHBK presents Bible Talk. We are members of the Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge, with school locations in San Antonio, Texas, Houston, Texas, Norfolk, Virginia, and Rochester, New York. Shalom, shalom, good morning, good morning, good morning, Bible Quad to Wab. Miss you guys, it's that dude, Mashaba. I'd like to welcome you to our format. The ISBHBK Bible Talk, we've been doing this podcast for the past 12 years. We've been doing this podcast for the past 12 years. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Remember, you can call somebody, tell somebody, text somebody that the show has started. Area code 646-668-2568. Area code 646-668-2568. They want to call in and listen to the live stream. Or they can listen through the web browser at www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. Once you pull the page up, go to the search box, type in the word Mashaba, M-A-S-H-A-H-B-A, and they'll be able to listen in live or be able to catch the archive show. You can also catch any of the archive shows on Apple iTunes podcast under the ISBHBK Bible Talk, under iHeartRadio podcast, and also under Google Podcast and also Podcast Addict. Just look for ISBHBK Bible Talk, and we'll come up, and they archive our past 300 shows, going back in chronological order, starting from the newest to the oldest. So that's one way to keep up with us here through the Blog Talk Radio format, the podcast that we do. We invite you to please also check out ISBHBK.com. Please check out ISBHBK.com. It's a website that's been put together. Nice. That's all I can say, nice. Where you get the latest pictures from the latest High Holiday convocations, where we came together and pictures were taken and have been uploaded. And also stay in touch with Chosen Creations, Israelware. What am I missing? The Lily Pad. The Blog Talk Radio format, and also the latest YouTube videos that have been put up from ISBHBK, The Hidden Truth, all right? The Hidden Truth or 5 Minutes of Wisdom. Excuse me, y'all, one second. All right, I'm back. All right, so I'm trying to jump into this class, which is a continuation from yesterday. And I got a little brain fog going on, brother and sister. I do have a little bit of brain fog, so forgive me for that. Yesterday we were touching on Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 8. And we were covering verses 1 through 9, as a matter of fact. And we were covering the accusation given to Paul and Silas, and also the brother Jason, in the cities of let me pull them up here, through and Amphipolis, Apollonia, and Thessalonica, and how that the many of the Jews there and the Grecians that were Greek speaking Israelites really hadn't heard about Jesus Christ being the Messiah. Jesus is the son of Joseph and Mary, actually being the Messiah, being the Christ, and Paul was going to show him that he was the Messiah, and for three straight Sabbaths, going between these cities and teaching and showing that Christ was the Sabbath, and proving through the scriptures how we know that Jesus Christ was the chosen, he was the Messiah, he was the anointed. And we were bringing down yesterday the history of Israel a little bit, in that the Israelites had been looking for a savior. We understood from the prophecies going on back from Deuteronomy through Daniel that a Messiah was going to come and save the Israelites, the chosen Messiah. And that's what the word Messiah means, anointed. the anointed chosen Savior was going to come and save Israel and establish. And establish Israel as the, I'm sorry, y'all, give me 1 second. And establish the kingdom of Israel. And we reference Acts chapter 1, verse 6. And how a lot of the Jews, they weren't feeling that. They were looking for the Messiah. But for the Messiah to have, and not understanding the scriptures, let me slow down, I'm going to talk a little bit. And not understanding the prophecies and the scriptures about the Messiah, that they thought that the Messiah was going to put down all nations and all other kingdoms and establish the kingdom of Israel back on top of the, as the supreme power of the earth, from the prophecies. But in not understanding the prophecies, that the Messiah was going to come and suffer first. The Messiah was going to come and suffer first, and was going to have to be resurrected, and that there were still a lot of prophecies that we as Israelites still had to go through. There are still a lot of things that the Most High pronounced against the Israelites that at the time Christ came when he first came hadn't happened to us yet. And when Paul and Silas and the brothers he was with was breaking this down and giving this understanding and showing through the scriptures that, no, the Messiah was going to come, but he had to suffer first and die first, and that we still, as Israelites, that one jot or one tittle of the law and one jot or one tittle of the prophecies, they still had to be fulfilled as far as us being exiled and pushed out of the promised land in totality, not just the northern kingdom of Israel, but all Israelites, and that we were going to be scattered to the four corners of the earth, and that it was going to be forgotten who we are, and that we were going to be called by different names and different titles. When we read Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse 15 and then verse 37, it says that there's going to be certain curses and certain evils that are going to have to happen to the Israelites, and one of those evils being that we would be called by different names, so-called Negroes, West Indians, Puerto Ricans, Haitians, Dominicans, Cubans, North American Indians, Seminole Indians, Argentinians, Chileans, Brazilians, Colombians, Panamanians, and Mexicans. These type of things, the slave ships coming over on what became known as the transatlantic slave trade, that was prophesied in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 68, that all these things and many other prophecies still had to take place as far as us being scattered and the dysfunctional families that we were raised in and the evils and the pains that we just got to endure because God had turned his back on us. Because God was now ignoring us because of our behavior, because of our conduct, because of our not adhering to his judgments, to his way of doing things. All right, so that's what was going over yesterday. And I'm going to touch a little bit more on that again today. But I wanted to go more into touching on about the judgments of God. I want to touch more about the judgments of God. Now, going to the let me catch up with my notes here. The first reference book I want to go to first is the James Strong and John McClintock's encyclopedia. Right? The Strong and McClintock encyclopedia. He's dealing with a lot of biblical facts and everything. It's an encyclopedia compiling information dealing with biblical facts. And go on here, and you can look it up online too. It's the James Strong and John McClintock Encyclopedia. The James Strong and John McClintock Encyclopedia. McClintock being McClintock. Right? The James Strong and John McClintock Encyclopedia, and we're going for the judgments of God. All right, the topic that we're dealing with right now is the judgments of God. I'm just going to read what they have, the definition that they have here. A little long, but I'm going to go ahead and read it. Try and get some things established. Okay, this expression is a frequent occurrence in the scriptures. The judgments of God, that says that it's a frequent occurrence in the scriptures, and its sense is generally determined by the connection. When God's judgments are spoken of, the term may denote either the secret decisions of the divine will. So basically there's three, when you talk about the judgments of God in the scriptures, there's generally three ways that that can be dealt with. All right. There's three different aspects that the scriptures deal with when it comes to dealing with the judgments of God. All right. The first thing that they come up with or give us an understanding about is that when you're dealing with the judgments of God, we got to understand that you're dealing with the secret decisions of the divine will, that in understanding the will of God, that was not, the will of God was not revealed to all humanity. The will of God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that was not revealed to everyone. All right, that to understand God's secret decisions, it's a secret. It was between God and the people that he revealed it to, his will, his decisions of what he comes, what he determines to be right and what he determines to be wrong. This was not a universal understanding of God's will. God's will was not revealed to everybody. And we can go back and we can see, going all the way back to the days of Adam, and we can see that Adam had many sons and daughters. But that there was always a chosen seed, a chosen lineage that God was dealing with from the days of Adam. It went from Adam, then it went to Abel. Then Abel was murdered. Then in Abel's place, Adam's son Seth was raised up. And that there was a chosen lineage that God was dealing with and revealing his divine will to. All right, to where eventually we get down to Noah. And then from Noah's three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, it went to Shem, and then we traced the lineage of Shem down to Abraham, and then from Abraham to Isaac, and Isaac to Jacob. All right. So in dealing with the judgment of God, one thing we need to understand is, and let me pull this up in my Bible also. This can help us out a little bit. Everybody give me 2 seconds. Let me reorganize again. But I don't want to hear a lot of dead space. So
Shalom.
Okay, okay. I didn't want to have a lot of dead space, brother. Says, forgive me. That's why I put the music up. And I know it sounds real choppy right now, and I'm trying to be self-conscious of these type of things. And that this is sounding like I understand how it's sounding. It's going to get better. All right? Just bear with me. All right, please be patient. So again, dealing with the judgment of God from the James Strong and John McClintock Encyclopedia, it says the judgment of God. This expression is a frequent occurrence in the scriptures, and its sense is generally determined by the connection. All right, when God's judgments are spoken of, the term may denote either the secret decisions of the divine will, all right? The secret decisions of the divine will. But talk about the judgment of God. We understand that there's many different ways the scriptures talk about or reference the judgments of God. And an example that's given here is Psalm chapter 10, verse 5. In Psalm chapter 10, verse 5, it says, His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he publisheth them. So it tells you that God's judgments, the point we want to get here from Psalm chapter 10, verse 5, is that God's judgments are above, out of sight. The way God deals with things, the way God decides things, how God makes his decisions, the way he does that is above everybody. It's above everything. And I'm just getting a text. Cool. So the way God does in his divine will, dealing with the judgments of God, that it could be talking about the secret decisions of the divine will, all right? Or the declarations of God's will revealed in the scriptures. That one, we're dealing with the secret decisions of the divine will, or two, we could be dealing with the declarations of God's will that gets revealed in the scriptures. And from there, we can reference Exodus chapter 21 and verse 1. We can reference the book of Exodus chapter 21 and verse 1, which says, now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. All right? It's a declaration of God's will. All right? When dealing with God's judgment, he's declaring his will. This is his judgment. All right? In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 12, it reads, wherefore, it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he swore unto thy fathers. So again, dealing with the judgment of God, we're dealing with his declarations, and if Israel would have kept these declarations and do what God declares, then it says God would keep us, and he would keep the covenant and the mercy which he swore unto our fathers. All right? Now we'll go to Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 13. The book of Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 13, it says, thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai, and spakest with them from heaven, and gavest them right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments. And this was Nehemiah praying to the Father and saying that when God appeared to the Israelites at Mount Sinai after we came out of Egypt, that he gave us right judgments. How to judge something. How to look at something. How to decide if something's of a divine will. Is this God's will what I'm dealing with? How to make a decision that would coincide with God's will. All right? And then we have Psalm chapter 119. We're not going to read all that. They have Psalm chapter 119, verses 7 through 175. Basically, the whole 119th chapter of Psalms dealing with God's judgments, okay? Or the third way the scriptures discuss or talk about God's judgments is the inflictions of punishments on the wicked, all right? So another way of dealing with the judgment of God is what punishment is to be inflicted upon the wicked. So I'm going through this, but what I'm trying to bring out, and I know it's a little bit choppy right now. I'm going through this so I can try and bring out that in dealing with God's judgment, you're not just dealing with his persecutions. You're not just dealing with the punishments of the Most High. But that in going through the scriptures, there's three different ways that the dealing with the judgment of God should be and can be looked at. All right? Either his judgment is dealing with the secret decisions of his will, and dealing with the judgment of God is dealing with the declarations of his will. He's declaring what his will is. And then thirdly, is dealing with the punishment for the wicked. All right? And for that, we go to Exodus chapter 6, verse 6. And it says, "Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. Now I bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I redeem you with a stretched out hand, which is stretched out arm, and with great judgments." That there was going to be the great judgments was going to be the punishments upon the Egyptians, God judging them. Okay? That's one way, in the punishments that were going to be inflicted upon the wicked. Exodus chapter 12, verse 12, something similar. It says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." So the Most High is now here executing punishments upon all the gods that of the Egyptians, okay? And that he was going to smite or kill the firstborn of all the Egyptians in the final plague or destruction or judgment that he was going to levy on the Egyptians in freeing and releasing the Israelites during that time under the hand of Moses. When we go to Proverbs chapter 19, verse 29. Now we're going to go to the book of Proverbs chapter 19, verse 29. It says, "Judgments are prepared for scorners, and stripes for the back of fools." And what this is telling us, that judgments are prepared for scorners. Somebody who's a scorner, and a scorner is somebody who rejects the knowledge of God. They scorn it. Like, I ain't dealing with that. I don't care what God says. I got my own thing. I'm doing my own thing. I don't feel like it's bad. God might not like it, but I don't see what's wrong with it. So it says, "Judgments are prepared for scorners." You don't want to go with God's decisions? That God's secret decisions are being revealed to you, and you don't appreciate that he's revealing to you his secret will? He's declaring to you what his will are, but we will actually come back and reject it? Because it doesn't coincide with our own personal lust or likes or desires, judgments are prepared for scorners. There's going to be some type of punishment. All right, there's going to be some type of punishment. And it said, "And stripes for the back of fools." Stripes came from, like, basically the cat of nine tails, where if you was a fool, you got beat. You got whipped. There was consequences for your foolishness. That as opposed to doing things that coincide with God's will, people make decisions that go against God's will, and there's going to be consequences. There's going to be consequences and repercussions for getting so caught up in a person's own emotions that they're going to go with their emotions and justify it however they want to justify it. And there's going to be some type of repercussion. There's going to be a judgment, all right? And then Ezekiel, chapter 25, verse 11. Ezekiel 25 and 11 says, "I will execute judgments upon Moab, and they shall know that I am the Lord." So here the Lord is saying he's going to execute punishments upon Moab, all right, that he is the Lord. So again, just looking at the different ways the judgment of God can be looked at. It's him revealing his secret will. It's him declaring his will, or him saying or giving a punishment to the wicked. All right, him giving a punishment to the wicked. And then we have Revelation chapter 16, verse 7. The book of Revelation, chapter 16, verse 7, and it says, "And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord, God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And yes, all of God's judgments are true and righteous. All right? Reading on with the definition now. Coming back to the definition from the James Strong's and John McClintock Encyclopedia. It says, the scriptures give us many awful instances of the display of the divine justice in the punishment of nations, families, and individuals for their iniquity. Okay? From there, I want to go to the Eastern Bible Dictionary. All right? The Eastern Bible Dictionary, and pretty much from the Eastern Bible Dictionary, it's the same thing in dealing with the judgments of God. The secret decisions, number one, the secret decisions of God's will. Right? The secret decisions of God's will. And they reference Psalm chapter 36, verse 6, which says, Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. Meaning, how deep is the ocean? So God's decision and God's will is not going to be just made evident to everybody how he does things. All right? That it's going to take some work. All right? That he doesn't reveal his will to everyone. All right? Or his judgment. How does God judge things? How does God look at things? That's not revealed to everybody. All right? Definition number two, the revelations of his will. All right? And it also says now, number three, the infliction of punishment on the wicked. All right? And then I also wanted to get this right here too, brothers and sisters. Let me get this here. Let me go back to my notes. I put in my notes. Cool. I do have it. All right. The next scripture I would like to go to, brothers and sisters, if you follow me, and I know right now it feels choppy. I feel like it's choppy. And I'm trying to get it smooth. In dealing with God's judgments, and I know that I can already I know the battle that people are putting up from what they've been taught and what they've learned and from what they know, that this is a struggle right now. That this is hard to hear. That they feel they already know what God's judgment is, and like, kind of, you can't tell me nothing. All right, I understand that. And I got that. And again, I'm trying to lay this out because there is a point we're trying to get to. All right, there's a point that we're trying to get to, and I still want to keep in mind the class that we started yesterday. All right, about the men that turned the world upside down, that the ones that are really bringing Christ's message, the message of Christ, the Christ, the Messiah, that is going to turn a lot of people's world upside down. That for what we have thought has been right, for what we have thought has been proper, for what we have thought and been programmed to think is correct, is morally stable, really is not. Really, it is not. And that now, as we come back now and we start to set things right, it's going to be tumultuous, to say the least. There's going to be a lot of things that are going to be hard to swallow. There's going to be a lot of things that are going to be hard to comprehend because of how many generations of programming and deprogramming that we're going to have to, that we're going to have to wade through, that we're going to have to get through. Similar to Acts chapter 17, the same way a lot of the Jews, now a lot of the Jews and the Greeks, they saw what Paul and Silas was teaching, and they agreed with it, and they believed and accepted it. But then there was a lot of Jews, specifically using that title and that name from Acts chapter 17, that from what they was taught, even as being Israelites, what they were taught even about the Messiah, that when the truth of the Messiah came out, their worlds got turned upside down. and in their pride and in their envy and in their jealousy, they weren't trying to have that messed up. In yesterday's class, we was dealing with Acts chapter 17, but we also came back and we referenced Dathan and Korah in the wilderness. And we also came back and referenced Simon during the time of the Maccabees, in 2 Maccabees chapter 4, and Jason, how Jason really wanted to establish the high priesthood and the government to himself, and how he was in league with the Grecians at the time, and that the Grecians had set him up as the high priest, contrary to what Moses set up, contrary to the laws of the Israelites, that he literally bought his way into leadership. He established a lot of lies and established something wrong. And we came back and saw how the Pharisees, during the time of Christ, came back and did the exact same thing. That according to how people look at things and how they judge, how we judge things, even in positions of influence, in positions of power, positions of leadership, that we kept using the method and the ideology of the nations and not really going with the judgment, the decision-making, or the will of God. And that's why I'm really trying to make sure we don't lose that point, right? And all these things I know I am bringing up. That I want to make sure that we're keeping in line and in league. That there's a lot of things that we've been taught wrong about Christ, and there's a lot of things that we think are inspired by God, but it's totally wrong. It's not according to the secret will or the secret decision making of how God does things, that we've been programmed to look at things a certain way, whether it's through social media, whether it's through music, whether it's through movies, television, through religion, through the educational system that's been established, that our understanding of God, how God does things and how God looks at things, has been thwarted, has been overthrown, has been defiled. And the purpose of going through these classes and this class here today is I do want to bring to our attention and some of the things that are going to be revealed in this class and have been revealed, much further study, a much deeper cleansing of our minds, of our perspectives, of our outlooks really does need to take place. That any example given again with Acts chapter 17, that the Jews of Thessalonica had a perception of how they thought the Messiah was going to be. And when Paul and Silas were teaching the truth about Jesus Christ, and that it was necessary that Christ must suffer and that he had to die, that for what the Jews had set up in our minds, for a lot of the non-believing Jews, let me say it like that, for a lot of the non-believing Jews, for what they had established in their own minds about how the Messiah was going to come, about what to look for in the Messiah, they couldn't let go of what they had impressed in their minds, and now the truth of the Scriptures and the understanding of the Scriptures, that it was too much to handle. It was too much. It was hard to swallow. It was hard to accept. And that there's a lot of things about Christ that we don't believe in him according to how the Scripture says. That we still have imposed a lot of what this society says a savior should look like, the conduct of what the savior should be like, the attitude of what the savior should be like, and we have this false sense that we sincerely think we're worshiping the true Christ. We sincerely think that we're worshiping the true God. But that's been tainted. Our perception really has been tainted. Okay? So, going to the Webster's 1820 Dictionary. Going to the Webster's 1820 Dictionary. There's a lot of definitions dealing with judgment. But I'm just going to go to I'm going to just get a couple. I want to jump down to definition number 5 from the Webster's 1828 Dictionary in dealing with judgment. All right? Judgment is the determination or decision. So if we're dealing with the judgment of God, we're dealing with the determination, and we're dealing with the decisions of God, of the Most High, of Yahweh Bahashem Yahweh Shai, of Yahweh. All right? That in dealing with judgment, that means we have to deal with God's determination. God's judgment, God's determination. We have to deal with God's decisions when we're dealing with God's judgment. Number 6 is the one I really was looking for in dealing with this class right now. It's not the only definition, but it's one I really want to get into. Definition number 6 of judgment from Webster's 1828 Dictionary. Definition number 6 says this. Judgment is the opinion or notion. So if we're dealing with God's judgment, we're dealing with God's opinion. And we're also dealing with God's notion. That this is one way to deal with God. It's not the only way. But one way to look at or understand and dealing with God's judgments, it means we're dealing with God's opinions. We're dealing with God's notions, okay? The example sentence that Webster gives says, "She, in my judgment, was as fair as you," or "She, in my opinion, was as fair as you." She, in my notion, was as fair as you. All right, that when we're dealing with God's judgment, it means that we're also dealing with not only his punishments, his decision, his will, but we're dealing with his opinion. Definition number 7 from Webster's 1820 Dictionary for the word judgment tells us this. In Scripture, the spirit of wisdom and prudence, enabling a person to discern right and wrong, good and evil. So another way of dealing with judgment is the spirit of wisdom and prudence enabling a person to discern right from wrong, right and wrong, good and evil. That if you're dealing with judgment, you can discern, no, this is right and this is wrong, this is good and this is evil, but according to God's opinion, according to God's notion, according to God's will. God determines what is right and wrong, what is good and what is evil. All right. Hope I haven't lost everybody. So from there, let's go to Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 4. And I am going to cherry pick a few scriptures here and there. To try and help get to the point that I'm trying to get to, okay? So now let's go to Leviticus chapter 18, verse 4. And it says, "Ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God." So again, this is the Lord God addressing the Israelites during that 40 years that we were in the wilderness after we came out of Egypt before we came to the promised land. And God was giving us his what? His opinion, his notions, his will. And also, he was giving us what? The punishments for going against his will. Going against God's opinion of what God says is right, wrong, what God says is good, and what God says is evil. So, here in Leviticus chapter 18, verse 4, it says, ye shall do my judgments. We should do God's opinion. You know, like the Lord's Prayer, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That we should be doing God's opinion. We should be doing and walking in God's way. We should be doing and walking in God's determination. We should be making decisions based on God's will, based on God's judgment. This is what we're supposed to be doing. Not according to our will, our opinion, what we think, and what we feel. The Israelites are supposed to be doing things according to how God sees things. Remember, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 told us what? Let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Have them do things the same way we do things. Do things like how I do things. Let them be made in my image, in the way I see things, the way I do things. Let me now make man to do things the way I do things, according to my will. These are the words of God. So here, God is reiterating himself to the Israelites now in Leviticus chapter 18, verse 4. Ye shall do my judgments. If God judges something to be wrong, then we were supposed to judge something wrong, that same thing wrong. If God judged something to be good, then we're supposed to judge something, the same thing as good. We're supposed to judge things the way God judges things. We're supposed to make our opinion the same way God's opinion is. We're supposed to choose God's way, God's opinion, God's decisions. We need to choose to look at God's way or not. And unfortunately, in this society that we live in today, God's will, God's decision is not first. It's not even second. Leviticus 18 and 4, once again, Leviticus chapter 18, verse 4, once again, it says, ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. If God is our God, then we're supposed to judge things the same way he judges things. We're supposed to be of the same opinion of God. We're supposed to share the same will and determination as God if the Lord is our God. I'm going to judge things the way he judges things. I'm going to look at things the way he looks at things. And I'm going to choose God. I'm going to choose his way of doing things. From there, the very next verse, Leviticus chapter 18, verse 5. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 5. It says, ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. That we got to now live our life. So I can bring this out clear. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. God's way of looking at things is supposed to become our way of looking. It's supposed to become our life. God's way of looking at things, of what God finds to be evil, what God says is right, what God says is wrong. In making God our God, then our life now becomes God's life. The way God looks at things, it's how now we're going to look at things. Let me see if I can give this example, brothers and sisters. If you look at a true practitioner of Buddhism, a true practitioner of Buddhism, and Buddha was a man, right? Buddha was an actual man. That big fat statue with the big belly, that was an actual man, okay? To be a Buddhist, you now live your life. Your whole life becomes dedicated to being a Buddhist. The way you think, the way you talk, the way you conduct yourself, the way you eat, the way you sleep, that the same way as Buddha did it, if it was burning the incense, if it was the meditation, if it was the donging the bell or the drum or the cymbal, what you call that, that you make your life the life of Buddha. You, when people see you, they see Buddha. That you make all your decisions and you make your life to mirror that of Buddha. Everything about you, your whole life, is now shown to be a dedication to being a Buddhist. So you might just wear the sandals everywhere you go, because you dedicated yourself to Buddha. Buddha has become your God. Your decision making, your will, is based on the decision making and will of what Buddha teaches. That's become your whole life. This is what the Father is saying was supposed to happen for us. That's what happened to the children of Israel. Then now our judgments is supposed to mirror God's judgments. That the way God judges things is that we're supposed to be deciding to judge our way or do things the same way God does things. That is supposed to become our life. So now when you see a Hebrew Israelite, they're supposed to see everything about me, everything about a Hebrew Israelite, it's how God does things, how we dress, how we talk, how we walk, how we eat, how we raise a family, how we deal with one another, how we deal with our neighbors, how we deal with everything. It's supposed to represent God, the Most High, according to God's judgment, according to God's decision-making, according to God's will. I'm hoping that makes sense. I'm hoping that's making sense. That if God don't eat pork, and God's judgment, he tells us that, yeah, when he made everything, he thought it was good. But when he made the pig, he didn't make that to be consumed for human consumption. Then now, if God finds the pig to be an abomination, we're supposed to choose to make pig an abomination also. If God chose shrimp to be an abomination, as far as the dietary law goes, then we're supposed to look at it and make the same decision. We're supposed to make it our God's opinion. We're supposed to make his opinion our opinion. We're supposed to be going according to his secret will. We're not supposed to be taking this mentality of, well, God knows my heart. God knows what I like. We're supposed to be being made and have been made in his image. Same chapter, verse 26 now. Same chapter, verse 26. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 26. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. I mean, when you go through the whole 18th chapter, the 18th chapter is dealing with fornications. Leviticus chapter 18 is dealing with fornications and inordinate sex and sexual relationships.
in a nutshell, incest. That he really lays out pretty clearly what type of sexual relations he finds to be disgusting. And contrary to a lot of pornographic websites of today, it got nothing to do with a step relative's sexcapades, a stepsister, a stepbrother, a stepmom, a stepdaughter, and all that. To have sex within those confines, God calls that disgusting and wicked. Having sex with a woman on her menstrual cycle, God calls that disgusting. That's his decision. No matter how good it might feel to somebody, God calls that disgusting. And for us not to do it. Specifically here in Leviticus chapter 18. Right? Specifically here in throughout Leviticus, the 18th chapter. Please go back and read it. It's there for – it's an open book. Please go back and read it. All right? That we're supposed to judge things the same way God judges things. That if just how God looks at it, then we're supposed to choose to look at it the same way. Coming out to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 37. And again, the reason I'm cherry-picking through some of these scriptures here and not reading these whole chapters here is I don't want to just get caught up into just these specific things that's being mentioned as much as the message being we're supposed to share God's opinion in whatever it is God's opinion is dealing with, God's decisions is dealing with, God's will is dealing with. That we're supposed to make God's will, God's opinion, and whatever it is that we're dealing with, we're supposed to choose to make that our own opinion also. Not, well, God says not to do it, and I guess if I'm around God, I won't do it, but when I'm on my own and my lonely, I don't see what's wrong with it. I really don't see what's wrong with it. So, yeah, that you know, it is what I got to speak my truth. No, we're supposed to be judging things the same way the Father judges things. This is the way the Most High in Christ judges things. We're supposed to choose to make that our same judgment. Leviticus chapter 19 now, verse 37. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 37. Therefore, say you observe all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, I am the Lord. That we're supposed to not do some of God's opinion. Well, you know, I get what God, when God says not to eat pork, I kind of see that. Because it's going to affect my health, and you know, I was looking into some vegan recipes anyway, or you know, vegetarianism. So you know, I can kind of get with that, but some of this other stuff, I really don't know if I'm really down for that. I don't know if I'm really, you know, I don't know. You know, some of what the Bible's talking about I can get with, but other stuff I can't really get with. You know, I can see where he says, don't eat pork, shrimp, crab, or lobster. I can get that. I can see where he says, I'm supposed to chill on the Sabbath day. I can get with that. But a man can have more than one wife? Nah, I don't know if I can get with that. I don't know if I'm really feeling that right there. So a man can have more than one woman, but a woman can have more. Cannot have more than one man? I don't know about that one. I'm not really feeling that right there. That's not really rocking my boat right there. I just I'm not really with that. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 37. Therefore, shall you observe all my statutes and all my judgments and do them. I am the Lord. We're supposed to, and there's a lot of people that will ignore God's judgment. That when it comes time, okay, let's get the scriptures out. Let's see what God says about it. All of a sudden, can't you just speak your own mind? Let me hear what you think about it. Let me hear what you got to say about it. No. Let's see what God says about it. Let's see what God says. And then you watch the roaches start running. Like when lights come on, you see the roaches start running. When God's word starts coming out, you see how people will do damn anything they can not to hear. They will find any damn distraction they possibly can. I'm not listening to that. I'm not hearing that. I'm not with that. I don't want to hear I'm wrong. I don't want to hear I can't do it the way I see it. Well, you can do it the way you want to do it. How come I can't do it the way I want to do it? Why? Why are you always going to run to the Bible? Well, because everybody's got an opinion. You got an opinion, I got an opinion. So let's run to this Bible. And get God's opinion. No, we got to talk and be friends. We can just talk. We don't need the Bible. Then if we're not going to use the Bible, how can we do Leviticus chapter 19, verse 37? Therefore shall ye observe all my statutes and all my judgments, and do them. I am the Lord. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 22. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 22. Ye shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments, and do them, that the land whither I put you to dwell therein, spew you not out. I love this scripture. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 22. Ye shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, that the land whither I bring you to dwell therein, spew you not out. You know, spit you out. That if we're not going to keep all of God's statutes and all of God's judgments, and we're not going to do them to where the land that he's bringing us to, the land, we're going to be spewed out. He's going to spit us out. If you have growing up in my parents' house, when it gets to the point where that child isn't going to obey the rules of the house, and they've gotten to the age of 18, what's the time for? It's time for them to move. It's time for them to get out. If you're not going to do if a child is not going to follow the rules, the opinions of the parents, you got to go. If you're working a job and you don't want to do the statutes or follow the opinions of what it takes to work that job, you got to go. It's time to go. This is what God is telling us. If we're not going to keep all his statutes and follow his judgments or keep his opinion in everything and do what he says and have his opinion, we got to go. And we're seeing what happened to the Israelites. We got kicked out the land. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 18 now. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 18. Wherefore, ye shall do my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. and ye shall dwell in the land in safety. We want to be safe? It ain't hard. Therefore, Leviticus chapter 25, verse 18, wherefore ye shall do my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. We're supposed to keep God's opinion, God's notion, keep God's will, and do it the way God wants it done. His way, his will, his opinion. We're supposed to do it that way so that now we might dwell safely, dwell in safety. I love scriptures like this, brothers and sisters, in all honesty. You know, in math, you have formulas, right? And I don't want to make this confusing or upsetting for anybody, but the one thing I always liked about math when I was coming up in grade school, middle school, what have you, to me, math was like a key. Once you got the formula. Once you got the formula or the key of how the thing worked, there wasn't a problem they could throw at you that it was going to open up. And to make it simple, to keep it simple, 2 plus 2 is always going to equal what? 4. You know, the type of problems I used to always like also was, like, especially going back to grade school, they might have a math equation, and they'll give you the first number. They might put a blank for the second number, but it says equals such and such. It might be something like that. It might be like 2, and then they have the multiplier sign, the multiplier, the 2 times blank equals 10. All right. 2 times 5 equals 10. Stuff like that, cool. That this plus this, this with this is going to equal this. And I know I didn't really get into calculus and advanced trigonometry or advanced geometry or anything like that, but just that type of concept. If I got this and I add this, it's going to equal this. If I have this, I take away this, it's going to equal this. That simple way of looking at things, I used to always like. So when I use that type of mentality with Leviticus chapter 25, verse 18, wherefore ye shall do my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. So here's our 1 plus 1. Here's our 2 plus 2. 1, ye shall do my statutes. 2, and keep my judgments and do them. 1 plus 1, do my statutes, keep my judgments, and do them. 1 plus 1, what's the equal sign? And ye shall dwell in the land in safety. See how kind of simple that is? Hopefully that I've simplified things with that. Now let's look at this for a second. If you are walking around and you don't feel safe, you don't feel protected, Meshava, if you walk around and you don't feel protected, Meshava, if you walk around and you don't feel safe, then let's go back to the formula. Hey, Meshava, are you doing God's statutes and keeping God's judgments? Am I sharing the same opinion as God? All of God's opinions, all of God's statutes and judgments, then I should be feeling safe. Then I should feel safe. Because 1 plus 1 equals 2. 2 plus 2 equals 4. 2 times 5 equals 10. If I'm not feeling safe or protected, that means I'm missing something in this equation. I love, you know, what they call it in school is having to use some deductive reasoning. Having to use some deductive reasoning. If I don't feel safe, why is it I don't feel safe? I'm not doing God's statutes and keeping God's judgments. What God says is evil, I don't really feel like that's so bad. God says not to do this, and I guess, but I don't see why. I don't share the same opinion as God concerning certain things. Okay. Then when I'm not feeling safe, there's a reason. I can do a spiritual diagnostic. You know, like when you drive your car and the check engine light comes on, or a service light comes on, then you know, there's something wrong. There's something going on. I love that. Reading on. Leviticus chapter 26. How many of these do I have? Leviticus chapter 26, verse 15. Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 15, it says, "And if ye shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments," I got to pull this one up. Leviticus. Chapter 26. And verse 15. We're going to start at verse 14, y'all. Let me let this come up. All right, yeah, we're in Leviticus chapter 26. We're going to start verse 14. Leviticus chapter 26, I'm going to start verse 14. And it says, "But if ye will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments." These are plain and simple statements. These ain't hard. If we will not hearken unto God, I'm not going to listen. I'm going to let myself get distracted. I'm going to ignore. La, 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 la. La, 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 la. I'm not listening. Cool. If we take that mentality with God, and will not do all his commandments, what he commands, how he wants things done. Verse 15. "And if ye shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments," if we despise God's statutes, what do we have for the word despise? Despise. Webster's 1828. To contempt, to scorn, to disdain, to have the lowest opinion of. If we have the lowest opinion of God's statutes, I don't feel that I should have to do what God says. I don't feel God is taking a chance. This is one that is used a lot. I don't think that you've given me a chance to speak my mind. You know what? There's a special circumstance that you're not aware of why this statute shouldn't have to follow this statute. There's things that's going on in my life things that are going on with me, that to observe or hold on to that statue, that you're not listening, God. You're not giving me time to explain myself of why that doesn't pertain to me. And God, if you ain't gonna listen, I ain't gonna listen. God, if you're not gonna respect me, let me run my mouth about why I don't feel that is right. I'm gonna get attitude. And if you shall despise, Leviticus 26:15, and you shall despise my statutes, and then they have abhor. Let's get abhor. It says, if you shall despise my statutes and your soul abhor my judgments, abhor. To hate extremely or with contempt, to loathe, detest, or abominate, to despise or neglect, cast off or reject. Leviticus 26:15. And if you shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor, despises, rejects, hates extremely my judgments, God's opinion, God's way of looking at things, God's decisions, so that you will not do all my commandments, but that you shall break my covenant, that I'm supposed to look out for you and protect you, but you can despise, hate, abhor, hate extremely God's decisions, God's opinion, how God looks at things? But we got this notion that God's supposed to still listen to us? Help us? Not ignore us? Verse 16, Leviticus 26:16. I will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. And you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. You can work for nothing. You can be doing a lot of things that in God's eyes don't mean squat. Then in God's eyes, everything that you put your hope, your dreams, your energy, your spirit into is not going to mean anything to God. Why should it? That when God is giving us his opinion, God is giving us his decisions, God is giving us his way of looking at things, and we're like, nah, I'm not with that. And to the point where we hate it, we detest it, we dislike it, we despise it. And if we get this thing in our minds that we're going to do things the way we feel is right, please, brothers, sisters, how the hell is that fair? How is that fair? It's not fair. But be damned if we don't try and do it this way. I'm going to jump down to verse 43. All right, let's jump down to verse 43. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 43. The land also shall be left of them and shall enjoy her Sabbaths. From verse 14, while we're down through 43, of God just explaining that if we really despise his judgments, his statutes, his way of doing things, then now we ain't going to do it. Don't want to hear it. It gets on our nerves to do it God's way. God's got a list of things that's going to happen to people that are like that, that are scorners. Go back and read it for yourself. Go back and read for yourself all that's going to happen. And go back and see all that has happened because we don't like to do things God's way. We detest, we abhor, we hate God's way. And unfortunately, again, this society really promotes and pushes to do things opposite of God. This society really pushes have it your way, just do it. I'm loving it. These type of notions are really pushed and promoted in this society. So now when God's judgment comes, when God's opinion comes, when God's decision comes, we abhor it. Don't want to hear it. I'm not trying to be like that. No, hell no. So now we're in verse 43. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 43. The land also shall be left of them and shall enjoy her Sabbaths while she lieth desolate without them. Remember, we just read earlier, he said if we're supposed to do his statutes and keep his judgments so we might dwell in the land in safety. But if it gets to the point where we really abhor, hate, despise, scorn, reject, I ain't trying to hear God's opinion, God's decisions, God's way of looking at things. We're going to be kicked off the land and be damned if this didn't happen to us. And the land is going to rest. Reading on, it says, and they shall accept the punishment of their iniquity. He said, if we finally get kicked out the land, out of the promised land, and then I'll get to the point where now we accept the punishment of our iniquity, that it's been our opinions that got us in this situation. It's been us following our opinions, what we think is right, it's been going in lieu of what God's decisions and judgments are. That this is why all this evil happens to us as a people. It says, so that they shall accept of the punishment of their iniquity. Because they despised my judgments and because their soul abhorred my statutes. God takes this very seriously. This is why we're supposed to be checking ourselves before we wreck ourselves. This is why we're supposed to be studying to show ourselves approved unto God. This is why we're supposed to be repenting. But unfortunately, there's too many people that really think they're going to argue with God about how and why they see the way they see things. God's supposed to change and accept because of the way you see it, of how you feel, of the morals that we have been programmed with. They're right with God or not. There's a lot of people that think they're going to be able to run and argue and debate and negotiate with God, speak their mind with God. And now God's going to accept and finally see things their way. Man. It's scary. It's scary. jump down to verse 46 and trying to move on. Jump down to verse 46, Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 46. These are the statutes and judgments and laws which the Lord made between him and the children of Israel in Mount Sinai by the hand of Moses. All right, let me check my time, brother and sister. Let me check my time. Let me check my time. I got about 30 minutes. Let me take a quick, just a quick little break here, brothers and sisters. Let me take a quick little break, which is a good thing right now. And I'll be right back.
You hear sirens and semis pop. Judah keep vexing Ephraim. When will the envy stop? No love for any cops. That's what got Kenny shot. Y'all drinking Henny shots. I'm investing in penny stock. They give me props. Rapping, teaching, debating, unity while Satan trying to weaken the nation. Cops in my community kill us with every opportunity. No justice or peace, the police get immunity. Look, rubber bullets and riot suits when they gear up, asking where the love went, cause judgment is near us. And kids rather pour up a foe and sip the syrup than learn about how the black Moors ruled in Europe. We divided by economic material schisms. My people are serial victims of imperialism. I tell the truth in the booth, boy, my pen no lie. They love the Hebrew Israelites after N-O-I. Let's pray. I pray. Abba Naba, Yahweh rise. I pray for your grace and everything that you shall provide. I pray every day that you teach me how to strive to put my trust in you, because in you is where the power lies. My people are dead and pump will come out of hide. I pray every day no excuses or alibis. I pray that every last one of these cowards die. I pray all of this in the name of Yahweh Shai. Can't feed the flesh, don't need the stress, so I fast and I rest instead. Cold sweats in the bath, trying to grasp as I sat in bed. In my dream I had a twin, he stabbed me to death and fled. Visions of a pale horse and a dragon with seven heads. Vagabond, Babylon, being watched by the Lord. Can't even stop by the store, cause on my block it's a war. Jehovah Witnesses don't even knock at my door, cause they know they false doctrine will get chopped by my sword. Yeah, I'm with the lyrical or the spiritual murder play. I see some ravenous wolves leading a herd astray. My homie's mom's a tweaker, I watch him survey. I'm numb to this game and the pain, I'm an invertebrate. When another Messiah comes, serve, we gon' witness the sun purge. He coming back to judge every idle and dumb word. My team always moving in silence, we unheard. The elite wanna converge on the elect and the one-third. I pray, Abba Naba, Yahweh rise. I pray for your grace and everything that you shall provide. I pray every day that you teach me how to strive to put my trust in you, cause in you is where the power lies. My people are dead and pumped will come out of hide. I pray every day no excuses or alibis. I pray that every last one of these cowards die. I pray all of this in the name of Yahweh Shai.
I pray you sing to the Lord a new song. Sing praise in the assembly of the righteous. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praise of God be on the mouths of the saints, and a two-edged sword in their hands to execute vengeance on the demonic nations and punishment on those people. Divine their kings for change.
If only I could spread my wings and fly away, I'd escape this place right away and be gone, vanished without a trace. Is where I stay. It ain't safe for kids to go out and play. No matter if it's night or day, you can be hit by a stray. So every morning when I awake, I pray for a brighter day. Don't know how much more darkness my eyes can take. Criminals populate the city, crime is at its highest rate. Growing up, I was surrounded by a lot of hate. Through the tribulations, I acknowledge that your hours break. Can't wait till he send his son to deliver us up out this place. Babylon the Great, better known as the United States. The place that was built off of oppressing an entire race. But when I'm tribes awake, we about this place. Every nation under the sun gonna be more shook than a violent quake. Let's get it right, Jake, so we can take our rightful place. The 12 gates reserved for us, our paradise awake.
Yeah.
All right. You're going to learn today.
All right. Everything came out smooth. Everything's coming out smooth. All right. All right, brothers and sisters. Where we at right now is, I hope I got everybody still with me. What was that sound? All right. I do pray everybody's still with me. I'm still being heard.
All right. You're going to learn today.
Okay. Just like the song that we just listened to from Deacon Sakari, I pray. I'm praying that the understanding is clear of what I'm trying to bring out, that in dealing with a portion of God's judgments, that it's not necessarily just looking at the punishments of God's judgments, that in looking at God's judgments, that it's also dealing with looking at things through God's eyes. It's also looking through things and judging things the way God judges things, and sharing and having the same opinion as God has, and doing His will, and saying things in His image, and seeing things and doing things the way He wants things done. I hope that message is what's coming across. That's the point I'm striving for, to try and really pass on to people. And that, and again, by no means am I trying to negate or say that in dealing with God's judgment, it's only dealing with God's punishment. That is not, or in dealing with God's judgments, it's only dealing with His opinion. And it's got nothing to do with his judgment, his punishments. I want to bring more focus onto dealing with God's opinion, and in dealing with things the way God deals with things. I'm really praying that's what's coming across. All right, in this class right now. Now, yeah, we're going to do other classes, and in other classes, we will be bringing out more about God, the punishments of. In reference to the judgments of God. But here, I really wanted to focus to be on hopefully seeing through some of the scriptures and some of the definitions that we did, that I was able to bring out, that in dealing with God's judgments, we're dealing with His opinion. We're dealing with His decisions. That we're dealing with His way of looking at things. And that He shared that with the Israelites, like He's sharing that with us now. Okay? I understand that there can be some wrestling taking place in the mind right now from what we've been taught, for the traditions that we've upheld, and whatever it might be, that to try and look at things in that concept, or to already believe that we've been doing things according to God's will, that we've been taught to believe that our will and the way we look at things as individuals is the way God looks at it. And that's why we will say things like, God knows my heart. God knows what I want. We have been taught, coming from like a Baptist or Christian background, that if there's something that you want, is that as long as you say, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. That as long as you say, and God, if it be thy will, give me this, give me that. And that's what we've been taught for generations. That concept has been passed down from our parents, from our grandparents, from our great-grandparents, through whatever church, through whatever
Mason House, from whatever college, that is something you want, go for it. Don't let nothing hold you back from what you want. Don't let nobody tell you that you can't have, that if you put the hard work in it, that you can't have it, that it's yours. And that has been the mantra that we have really been living by, that our parents have really been living by, that their parents have really been living by. That it's all about our will, our want, our desire. If you grew up playing sports, you might have heard a lot of times saying, "Who wants it?" That you got to go out there and show that you want it. You got to put your nose to the grind, your shoulder to the grind, and you got to go out there and you got to fight for you. If you want something, it's yours. Go get it. And then we've been taught that when you put in the hard work for something you wanted, that when you get it, somehow say that that was God's will. Now, because you put in the hard work, because you made the decision, this is something you wanted, and you weren't going to let nobody hold you back, and that somehow that was God's will. But in checking out God's will, God's judgment, God's opinion, and no scriptures that a person uses to see what God's will really is. And this is one thing that in coming back and teaching and showing that we're the Hebrew Israelites, that is it God's will for you to be the entertainer? Knowing that it's God's will that we be made in his image, so is it God's will that you be an entertainer? Is it God's will just for you to be able to pay some bills? Whereas, again, I've gone over these classes, and I know that in these past 6 months, I've flooded ISBHBK Bible Talk with a lot of classes. But we've gone over Deuteronomy the 20th chapter, verses 1 through 14, and the things that God promised to us, and it had nothing to do with credit, a credit score. And go back and look at the blessings of God. When God blesses, how does God bless? What does God bless? So coming back now from where we're at right now, and I'm doing a lot of talking right now only because I'm trying to slow my mind down. Because I'm thinking about all the classes that are leading up to this point. Have led up to this point that I've covered, for and things I know people have not gone back to study or consider, or even bother to listen to. So I've got that in my mind, as well as trying to move on with this class. When we come now to Isaiah chapter 55. When we come out to the book of Isaiah chapter 55, I'm going to start at verse 6. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6. It says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." When it says seek the Lord, I do pray that the understanding is now, am I seeking to do things the way God wants things done? Am I seeking out God's opinion and God's decisions on things that I'm trying to get done or I'm trying to do? Or am I doing it, and then after I do it, I'm saying the prayer, okay, God, it would be your will. Do we consider God's ordinances? Does a person think about God's ordinances before they do something? Do they consider God's opinion and what God calls right before I ask for something? Or am I just
Am I doing the proverbial? I'm gonna throw everything at the wall and just see what sticks. I'm not gonna be considerate or put the work in to study. Or a lot of times we take the mentality, we'll take the type of attitude and mentality of it's easier to ask for forgiveness than to ask for permission. A lot of times we'll do things and then we'll inform God of what we're doing. Not asking or seeking if God thinks it's right or wrong. We'll do it and then say, oh yeah, by the way, God, I'm doing this. And be your will, let it come through. Oh, I wish, I hope, I pray, I hope this comes through. If we just did a little bit of study, we'd see there's a lot of things that we put into action that God has already condemned. There's a lot of things that we put into action that God already has stated he can't stand it. And if we think by our hard work, our sweat, our tears, our own determination, that I'm supposed to get what I want. For the past couple of classes, brother says, I've been going through it and trying to show God will ignore us. When we go back and read Genesis, the fourth chapter, the fourth book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 4, we read we read about Cain and Abel. It's the fourth book of the Bible, y'all. The fourth book. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived, and bare Cain. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived, and bare Cain, and said, I've got a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother, Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground and offered it to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, this is Genesis chapter 4, verse 3. The third verse, Cain is bringing an offering to the Lord. The third verse, fourth chapter, Genesis. We see where Cain, somebody is offering an offering unto God, unto the Lord. They're bringing an offering. They're offering something to God. Verse 4. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Genesis chapter 4, verse 5. But unto Cain and his offering, he had not respect. How many times do we offer things to God and God ain't got no respect for it? And if we take on the same attitude and spirit of Cain, and Cain was wroth, was very wroth, and his countenance fell. If things were in the foretime written for our learning, how is it a lot of us don't pick up on this? How is it a lot of us really, really think that just because we feel a certain way, that we can justify our feelings and our actions, and that's supposed to make you be respected in the eyes of God? Because we respect it, and now because we get mad and get angry, then now that's supposed to make God now respect it.
Why didn't Cain just find out what God wanted? Why didn't Cain just go ahead and bring the right offering instead of getting mad and trying to force God to accept his offering by getting mad? Very raw. Genesis chapter 4, and I see the time. I do see the time, y'all. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 5. Roth. It says, this is from Webster's 1828 dictionary for the word wrath. It says, see, wrath. Very angry. Much exasperated. Cain was very wrath, and his countenance fell. I was wrath with my people. Isaiah chapter 47. Looking at the commentary from John Gill, it says, but to Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. That's what the scripture said. Now, here's the commentary. Not because of the matter of it, as some have thought, but because it was not offered in faith and sincerity, but in a formal and hypocritical manner, without any regard to the Messiah and his sacrifice, and without any view to the glory of God. No notice was taken. No approbation was given of it. And by the above token, or any other, so that it was manifest to Cain himself that God did not approve of it and was well pleased, or was well pleased with it, as it was his brother's. And Cain was very wroth with God. So the scripture says, and Cain was very wroth, the commentary, with God, to whom he offered it, because he did not accept of it, and with his brother, because he and his sacrifice were preferred to him and his. And when the scripture says, and his countenance fell, the briskness and cheerfulness of his countenance went off, and he looked dejected. And instead of lifting up his face towards heaven, he looked with a down look to the earth. He looked churlish, morose, and sullen, ill-natured, full of malice and revenge, and as if he was studying which way to vent it, he knit his brows and gnashed his teeth, put on a surly countenance, and there might be seen in his face all the signs, not only of grief and disappointment, but of age, rage, and fury. Though some interpret it of shame and confusion. When we come back and check this out here now. The Bible in basic English reads, but in Cain and his offering, he had no pleasure, and Cain was angry, and his face became sad. In the Beeman Study Bible, but he had no regard for Cain and his offering. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. I like how it says here in his study Bible, in the Beeman Study Bible, but he, talking about God, had no regard for Cain and his offering. God ignored it. So a lot of times we won't study. We won't do God's judgments. We won't hear or accept God's judgments or God's decisions. And if we want to bring offerings and we want to put work into what we feel is right and proper and good and moral and correct, and God don't hear it. And God don't respect it. And God doesn't regard it. And the first thing we want to do is get sad, depressed,
and angry because we didn't take the time to make sure we was bringing the right thing, doing the right thing. Taking on this attitude like, because I brought something, you're supposed to be happy with it. I'm going to finish with Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 down. All right? Going back to Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 down. No, I'm sorry. I can't do that yet. Let me finish up with Genesis. I don't want to jump too much. Verse 6, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? Verse 7, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. The Bible in basic English. If you do well, from Genesis chapter 4, verse 2, if you do well, will you not have honor? And if you do wrong, sin is waiting at the door, desiring to have you, but do not let it be your master. The Bremer Study Bible. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you refuse to do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires you, but you must master it. Getting back. The question I had asked him is, we've got this Bible in front of us. We really don't consider how much we don't desire God's ways. So coming back here now with Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 through 9. And I'm probably going to start my next class on Monday. I'll start my next class on Monday with Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 through 9. But I'm going to finish this class up with this now. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. We got to seek to do things right in his eyes. We had to seek his opinion. We had to seek his judgments. We had to seek his decisions that he's already wrote down and put in a nice little package in his book called the Bible. Verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. But before we can get to the mercy, God's mercy, before we get to that the abundant pardon, him pardoning, giving to that pardon, I got to forsake my way. I have to forsake my thoughts. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Brothers and sisters,
a lot of times we want to assign the way we're thinking to the way God's thinking, only because it's the way we feel, only because of the way we've been programmed, only because we're following what's been passed down for generations and generations. And we don't consider that we're doing evil. We don't consider that we're doing wicked. We don't consider that our perception of things is throwed. We don't understand or haven't been taught that what we think is good and right and fair, when we actually come back and read and study, what we think is good, right, and fair is actually bad, evil, and unjust in the eyes of the Father. So with that, brothers and sisters, I do want to thank everybody who might have listened, joined in, called in, listened in, or might be catching us again on the Apple iTunes podcast, on iHeartRadio podcast, on Google Podcast or Podcast Addict, or if you might have gone to www.blogtalkradio.com and maybe check out one of the archive shows. Well, thank you for tuning in and listening. Please check out ISBHPK YouTube channels, San Antonio, Houston, Norfolk, or Rochester. IUIC has got some great classes. He has some great classroom teaching that you can really kind of get absorbed and catch the scriptures and the reference books that they have. And please also check out Bonabod's Bible Breakdowns tomorrow night, starting at 7 p.m. San Antonio time. It would be 6 p.m. Albuquerque time, 5 p.m. California time. And then that would be 8 p.m. on the East Coast. All right? So with that, brothers and sisters, I do want to thank everybody for tuning in. My name is Mashaba. I'm going to say shalom.
Israel, Yahweh our power, Yahweh is one.